I know that our brother Gordon has prepared a message for us this evening, and I would ask that each one of us would open our hearts and our minds to those things that he has to say. I ask now for your careful and your prayerful attention for Brother Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Dwayne. Good evening. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. My heart is always full when I'm able to come home on the weekends and be with my family, and that includes each one of you. I do have a message tonight that I would like to bring to you that I feel that the Lord has impressed upon my heart. Throughout this week, I had studied and prayed about what I would bring to you, and the topic of the Spirit of God was there, but it didn't all fit in my mind yet, and it was just this afternoon that the Lord helped me to understand what to focus on concerning the Spirit that I would like to talk about. I would first like to go to John in the 10th chapter, and well, let's look at these verses. There's a couple of verses here that I want to read in the 10th chapter of John. It's verses 27 through 30. Here, Jesus is speaking, and he makes this statement. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." Now, when I've read that, I know it's familiar to each one of you, but I'm going to ask you tonight, what does that mean to you? When the Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me," what does that mean personally to you? How do you relate to those words as that you being the sheep of the fold, and how you hear the voice of your Savior? Yeah, that you're communicating, but when you communicate, it's both ways, isn't it? Not only through your prayers, but by listening, that voice that comes to your heart and mind from time to time, giving you either an understanding or specific words, or whatever that Spirit is trying to lead you to come to that understanding of, isn't it? Now, in each one of you, you have probably experienced one or more of those kinds of ways that God's Spirit has spoke to you and gave you a complete understanding of whatever it is that He was trying to tell you. Is that correct? Right? And how did it make you feel? I mean, How did it make you feel when those times come upon you? Think about it. Sometimes it could be joyous, right? I mean, it could be something that you might have been struggling with, maybe about the Scripture or something, and it gives you understanding. You go, "Thank you, Father. That makes sense to me." Or it could be something in your life that you're struggling over, a problem or a difficulty, and you've been praying and thinking about it, and the Spirit of the Lord gives you wisdom on how to deal with it, right? And then you start walking in that direction that it gives you, right? Or it could just be something that gives you strength. And one of the things for me is that they acknowledge that He knows I'm here. Isn't that the best thing? That He knows that I'm here. He hears me, you know, and that's the best thing of the whole deal. That Spirit working in your heart. Now, what divides us or separates us from the world? What is it that separates us from the world? Well, the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because we have the promise that if we do thus and so, we have that gift that is an abiding comforter. Correct? We believe that. But how often do we forget that we've been given that? that beautiful, beautiful gift of the shepherd that comes from the Lord, comes from His Father, that gift that is in us. And gives us or reveals God to us. It is the only means by which that we can understand God and His precepts. Without it, we cannot understand it. We would not be able to understand it. And that's what separates us from the world. So it's no different than you have a group of sheep out here, and probably you've seen on PBS stations or whatever you see in New Zealand, you know, you see these different groups of sheep, and they even have competitions where they can corral these particular sheep, and they are trained, and they know what to expect of the master, and they follow the commands and different things. Sometimes they have a dog that helps out, but that could be like the Spirit of God, really, in that sense, that corrals the sheep and keeps them going in a particular path. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that's what separates us from the world, is the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost that's within us. In John, in the 14th chapter, just go a couple of pages here, we find in verse 16, it says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Why does He say another comforter in here? Just throw it out. Why is He saying, I'm going to give you another comforter? What was the first comforter? Huh? Yeah, it was Christ, right? He was with them at the time. We've never had that opportunity to have Him with us. So it's our first comforter, you know, in that sense. We believed in Christ, but then He gave us this comforter, His Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a beautiful, beautiful promise of what God has given us to use in our life. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, do you all believe that? You do, don't you? Do you avail yourself to that? I hope and pray you do. Do you think that only extends to the spiritual things in life? Or could it also encompass the temporal things in life? You think? Yeah, you bet. Because why? Because God is concerned not only of the spiritual things, but He's also concerned of your temporal life. He knows the things you need in life. And it extends to that temporal side too, but we forget that too sometimes, don't we? The 15th chapter, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. So not only the Holy Ghost, He's going to be able to teach you those things that Christ had brought to the children of men, those things of God, but He's also going to be a personal testimony in your heart of those things of God. In the 16th chapter, the 7th verse, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. So basically what He's saying here is that when He is gone. The Spirit is going to be here with you. You're going to be able to judge righteously because you're going to know and understand those things of God. And you're going to be able to look out in the world and be able to discern between what's right and what's wrong and be able to use that in your life. And that's the benefit of having that Spirit with you. One of the things I like in that is in the 14th chapter, the 23rd verse, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I like that. I like that very much. And I have to remind myself that is an indwelling within me. And there comes a responsibility with that, you know, of listening to it, to exercising that, and to keeping it safe and keeping it healthy as it works within my life. Or when it doesn't work in my life, why? And what should I be doing to make it active again? You know, because we're human and we find ourselves not straying. We have to always be very aware of the things around us and to keep that healthy. No different than in our own personal lives and the way we eat or not exercise or how we, you know, how we treat our body. Sometimes we abuse our body in ways that are not healthy to it. And we have to be aware of that. And we want to take care of it. And so it is with the Spirit of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians, let's go over there to the third chapter. I'm building up a foundation for what the real intent is going to be tonight that I want to hit. Here in the 1 Corinthians in the third chapter, verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's drop down the 19th verse. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Excuse me. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And so we find here that we are the temple of God. And we have to be aware of that all the time. There's another scripture reference, and we can find that in Romans, which I find it's a very comforting scripture because sometimes we forget, but there is that comforter that is going to be within us that is going to help us in these things in our lives. In the 8th chapter of Romans, the 26th through the 27th verse, and this is part of the workings of the Spirit of God. It says here in the 26th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it's saying that Spirit knows the will and purposes of God, and he's going to work in your life and make intercessions in your life where our infirmities prevent us from asking or even knowing how to deal with it. So that is our help in our life, and that's what that Spirit is going to be doing for us. And I think that's a beautiful promise too, as we come to these understandings. This thing that was taught this morning by our brother Duane, it was a foundation for some of the things in which I'm going to talk about today, this evening. Let's go to Psalms in the third chapter. He read at least part of this, or maybe even both of these verses of Scripture. Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs 3, excuse me. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And how is he going to be able to do all those things? It's going to be by the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. trust is that faith that makes that Holy Ghost work in our life, trusting in the Lord, that first comforter. And as it is, as you trust in the Lord, then that Spirit is going to start working in your life. And you're able to walk in those paths that the Lord would have you, because He's going to guide you and He's going to talk to you. But you have to learn to know how to listen and how to hear it. You know, I hear a lot of testimonies, well, I'm praying about this, or I'm praying about that, or I'm waiting for this, or I'm waiting for that, or I need a job, or I, you know, these kinds of things. And that's good, and we need to be doing that. But there's also the Lord opens up doors that we have to walk through, that we have to see that it is a door for us to walk through. And we need to know and discern the Spirit that door is all right to walk through. You see what I mean? He may not just come down and say, Gordon, I want you to go and work for thus and so. That's what I want you to do. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't do that. But most of the time, he opens a door, and you know by the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost that it's right. You feel it inside your heart. Why? Because you have exercised that, and it's familiar to you. And it's a familiar voice. And you listen to it. And you walk it. You follow after it. Now, this time of the year, it is known for being a very depressing time for many people. It really is. The holidays. A lot of times people die during this time. There are a lot of suicides during this period of time. I mean, you can read it statistically. It can be a very depressing time. And the only thing I can relate this to is that they don't have hope. That they've lost their hope. They can't hear the voice of that shepherd calling them. Or it's become silent in their life. There's a couple of verses of scripture that we can find in Proverbs that these people that are struggling during this period of time, this is part of their life. In Proverbs, in the 15th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Here, merry means glad, joyful, a rejoicing heart. Somebody who has hope. Just that alone will help you become less depressed, wouldn't it? To be in that kind of a state. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And this sorrow is a pain or a wound or sorrow, you know, something of that nature. And it breaks the heart. It's stricken or wounded or afflicted. It's something that is not good for your soul. And so we find that individuals who find themselves depressed, it is hard for them to be merry in their heart. They can find nothing in their heart to rejoice about. Nothing. And if you find yourself prone to being of that nature, you have to think about the things that God has given you in your life and apply the power of the Spirit of God in your life that gives you that hope. There's another one in Proverbs in the 17th chapter. In the 17th chapter, verses 22. Here it says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. How many people like to be around somebody that, how are you doing? Well, how's your day? Oh, it's horrible. You know, you got 2 hours, I can tell you about that. You know, you don't want to be around somebody like that. It's not very uplifting to you, is it? It is very important for us to be a help to our brothers and sisters. But it's very difficult to try and lift up their spirits when they have tossed out their hope. You know? And they don't understand why no one wants to be around them. And then when you talk to them and say, well, would you really like to be around somebody like that? Well, no. What? You know? That's why the scriptures, when it says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. It means basically decay or destroy the bones. It's not good for you. So the important thing to learn from this proverb and to tie it in with what I was talking to you about the Holy Ghost, if it's working in your life, you're going to have hope. And you're going to have a cause to be joyous. You're going to have a cause to be merry, even if you're not doing well in this world. Because your hope is beyond this world. And it will bring a peace to you in your heart if you can feel the presence of God and He knows that you exist. You know, that's the difference. And that's important to keep that communication up so you know that He is there. And He's willing to work with you in your life. Another one in Proverbs in the 15th chapter and the 15th verse. Here it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Afflicted, again, depressed in mind or circumstances. All the days of the afflicted are evil, meaning that they are no fun to be a part of. It's something that is a drudgery. When you wake up in the morning, you have nothing to live for. And that's what happened to those people that are, you find to read in the newspapers and different things at this time of the year, they find themselves in that position. Because there's a whole lot of, when they look out in the world, there's a lot of people who seem to be happy and wanting, doing things, you know, and they get depressed. They look inside of them and they get depressed. That they have decided that they don't like this time because they're not happy. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Joyful, loving, pleasant. Something that they have to hope for. One of the things that my wife can vouch is that when I pick up our paper and I start reading, I do a lot of grumbling. You know, there's a lot of things in there that I really don't like to read. I probably should just stick with the funnies, and even then sometimes that's not fun to read. You know, why? Because it's things in the world that I see that are changing I cannot do nothing about. But I don't like it, you know. I really don't like it. But where's my hope? It's not in this world. I know that there's going to be a change in this world, and it's going to be for better, but it's going to be the time when Christ comes, you know. In Romans, in the 8th chapter, in the 14th verse, here it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now how, if you just took that on its own and said, and looked at it, the spirit of adoption, God is saying, you're mine. Wouldn't that make you happy? You know, wouldn't that make you merry? Wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. You know, I know your love is there. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We should have nothing to fear because he has adopted us. Now, I have some scriptures that have a lot to say about hope and where its source comes from. I would like to bring some of those to your attention tonight. And really, that's the thrust of what the Lord, I felt, has impressed upon my heart tonight. to talk about. There's one in Psalms. If I can get over there. In Psalms, in the 16th chapter of Psalms. And it's the 9 through 11 here. Here it says, the ninth verse says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. One of the things that we can easily find as we can understand David was a very positive guy, even though he did things that were not right before God. He was always in there in the battle to make those corrections and to work out his salvation in fear. And I think one of the things, that's what the Lord liked about David, because he never gave up hope, and he tenaciously hung on to that promise that I'm going to be a child of God, despite myself. Despite how I err at times or how I'm weak at times, God is able to help me through it and to bring me into his presence, not me. He never gave up that hope. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, the 7th verse, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. It's a real plain and simple statement. But we have to remind ourselves that from time to time, that's what's good about reading the scriptures and thinking about a particular topic and just reading those scriptures and just picking them out, because it brings us strength from time to time. Romans in the 5th chapter is another one. Verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And you're familiar with this, I know. And patience experience, and experience what? Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So how does all this work together? Well, when you find yourself in these tribulations or these things, these bumps in the road, as you apply your faith and that hope in the promises of God, you overcome those things or work those things out. And you're strengthened. And you're edified by the Spirit of God as you walk that path. Romans in the 15th chapter. We have here the 13th verse. 15:13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of what? The power of the Holy Ghost. Now, none of this, I don't read any of this in here where if you're having this peace and these kinds of things that you have a perfect life. It's not saying you're going to have a perfect life, but you're going to have a joy, you're going to have a peace in your heart, knowing that the Father hears you and you hear Him. And He's working in your life. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, or daughters also, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That's that transition from faith, hope, and then knowledge that eventually you will be in the presence of God. Let's go over to the Book of Mormon and see if it teaches a similar thought. Alma in the fifth chapter. There's some verses here, and let's see, this would be Alma 5:41, which you can find on page 326. Real simple statement. And see that you have faith, and then you have hope and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. A real simple statement, and yet when you see the applications of each one has its own application in your life, but each one builds upon it. And you have to have those elements to allow those things to work in your life, that you can abound in good works. In Ether, in the fifth chapter, here on fifth chapter, the fourth verse, that's on page 746. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with a surety hope for a better world. And as I read through the paper, that's, I have to remind myself of that a lot. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh, how does it come? Of faith. And what does it do? It makes an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. And that's the ultimate purpose, that in this life we will glorify God. It's hard to glorify God if we're a sourpuss, you know. And no one wants to be around. You think God wants to be around you? No. A negative person or a person who is depressed, who find that life isn't worth living, it's a gift from God, this life. And it was meant to be enjoyed and to also prepare to have an eternal life with Him. Ether in the fifth chapter, verse 29. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weaknesses, and I will shew unto them that faith and hope and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. So those kinds of things, they agree, don't they? They agree one with another. Let's go to the Moroni in the 8th chapter, in the 29th verse, another familiar verse of Scripture. This is the progression in our spiritual lives, but it applies also to our life in general. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith, unto fulfilling of the commandments, and the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart, and because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with what? With hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. That progression that is there from when we first started to understand the things of God and applied it to our lives, and to that throughout that period of time up into the point in time when eventually we will dwell with God. That is the complete circle that God intended for us to walk. Then this last verse of Scripture dealing with hope is in the 10th chapter of Moroni, verses 15 and 16. Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except you have charity, you can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. So you see all those things, how they work. And so if you find that there are those who are depressed or whatever, as the scripture says, they see within themselves those weaknesses and it has overcome them. So when it's within our power or ability to be able to work with these individuals, we have to help them to understand there is hope. And you're not going to get it on your own accord. It's going to come by way of the power of the Holy Ghost as it works in your life to help you to overcome those things. There was a... I don't know why the Lord had me focus on hope. Other than there must have been a need. Now, I'm a kind of a guy, you know, that I express myself. You know when I don't feel well. You know that when I'm happy because I tell you. You know. I wear them on my shoulders. You know, I really do. But I got to tell you that, you know, I have a lot of joy in my heart, especially when I'm able to come here on weekends and see you. I really do. And why? Because the Lord has given me an opportunity to feel when you're not here. And it just reminds me how much I cherish you all, how much I love you, and how much I enjoy being in your presence. And how much I want the best for each one of you. And how, you know, how you can have that is that Spirit of God working in your life. Being attuned to it. In Psalms, in the 146 Psalms, I'm going to read this Psalms. It's 10 verses. This is going to be the close, so you're going to get out of here early. But it's something that David is famous for doing. And it's something that we should read and use and apply to our lives in maintaining our spiritual hope. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." When those things come to my mind, I thank God for them. I thank God. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Listen to what David's saying. Put not your trust in princes or presidents or Congress or Senate or these crazy lawyers that are running around here suing everybody or these crazy judges who don't know how to judge, only through the human way of judging things. Put not your trust in those things, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Meaning that he is a mortal person that will die. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his health, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, meaning that there is going to be a justice. Justice will be served. It may not happen in this life, but you can count on it, that justice will be served. Where was I? Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. I can't say it anything more. There's a lot for us if we just think to praise God for in our life. And to be happy and to be joyous, and to be at peace with all the beautiful things that God has given us. May the peace of God rest within each one of your hearts tonight. May God bless you.